Hi, it's nice to be with you, Newcomer, once more. I want to speak this evening. Well, I want to mention certainly two men. I want to talk briefly, just very briefly, about one man, and then I'm going to talk about another man, certainly the man that's mentioned in the text behind us, preaching and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of these men is certainly, most definitely, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure that everybody in the hall tonight, you've all heard of him. And I'm sure, being from Newcomer, that you'll have heard of the other man that I want to talk to you just briefly about being from Newcomer. And not only in Newcomer or in Auchinleck, but throughout Scotland and throughout the world, this man is well known as well. And he was remembered throughout the world on Friday, just past, on the 25th of January, each year. The world, and certainly in Scotland, celebrates and remembers the birth of, many say, Scotland's favourite son, many say, of our national bard, even after all these years, about Robert Burns. And certainly, in the school, there where I teach, the children are encouraged to learn some of the poetry of Robert Burns, to learn some of the songs that he wrote and the tunes, and really to remember and to celebrate his life as well. And one of the things about Burns, and certainly, you know, being from Newcomer, you know, I hope you should all know, is that during a Burns supper, they have something that's called the immortal memory. The immortal memory. And that is really the desire that those who are fans, those who are aficionados, you know, who are really big in Burns, would like to never ever forget him, to always keep him in the forefront of their mind, his life, his works, what he stood for, and to remember it generation after generation after generation. And, you know, it's good to be remembered like that. I think that's a human characteristic, is to be remembered. You know, you can look through this world's history, and you can look into different lands, and you can see monuments and statues to different people who have achieved great feats, great accomplishments in the world. And sometimes people are remembered by others, and people erect things to others, and you can go down to Alloway, and you can go down to the Burns Heritage Museum there, and you can look at the Burns Monument that's there. We can look at Mauchline Drive through there, and all around our locality are monuments and statues and symbols in honour to the bard Robert Burns. You can look further afield, you can look to Egypt, and you can see there the evidence of men wanting to remember themselves, the evidence of pharaohs who were so puffed up in their own importance and their own greatness that they wanted to create, indeed in their death, great monuments to the world might remember them by, and their people might remember them by, great statues of their heads there in the desert. But as we see, well, the years have taken their toll on them, and humans have taken their toll on them, and they're just crumbling, they're just skeletons, as it were, of their former glory. And eventually, you know, that will be eradicated, that will go, it won't last forever. So the chances of, you know, it's only a couple of hundred years, if that, since Robert Burns died, just or more, slightly more than that, just over a couple of hundred years. And so I suppose that, you know, the nation could get a pat on the back for maintaining the memory of him and his works. But, you know, sooner or later, as time will go on, you know, as the time increases, if God does not intervene in this world, or whether he does or not, that men and women will soon forget about Robert Burns. And I'm afraid to say that even those that the greatest and most ardent fans and appreciators of his life and works will no longer exist, and will have to admit that his memory will not be immortal. And it's a nice thought, it's a nice sentiment. You know, we all wish that we could do something that we'd be remembered by. But now I want to talk this evening about one who will have an immortal memory, who will live on, one who demands that he never ever be forgotten. And to look at his life, and to look at not only his life, but his death and his works. You know, Robert Burns died, now it escapes me exactly what he died of. He died of natural causes, of some disease, some infection. And he died at the age of 37, a young man. You know, so did the Lord Jesus Christ. He died a young man. You know, in a couple of months I'll be 33. And that's the age that, and sometimes we forget this. We think of, you know, obviously the Lord is eternal. But he was a young man, he was 33, when he died on the cross at Calvary. But his memory, you know, it's not been a couple of hundred years that we've had him, but he has an immortal memory as well. And the Christians here, and you come up, they meet every Sunday morning, and they remember, they don't wait once a year. They don't wait to Christmas, they don't wait to the 25th of January. And they don't eat haggis or something like that. But they have, as the Lord Jesus Christ asked those who are followers of him, that they would eat bread, they would drink wine, and they would eat bread that was symbols of his body, that was symbols of his blood that was shed. And we have this ordinance on us that we would preserve his immortal memory, and we would remember him week after week in the way that he asked us to. And it's the same with those Christians that meet there in Auchinleck as well. And so it's not just a couple of hundred years, but a couple of thousand years has gone by, and yet we still remember the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because you know we can look at Burns, and we can look at his poetry and his life and what he did, and you can look around and people just appreciate the simplicity of what he wrote, his appreciation of nature as he looked around at God's creation, and he could just write about how simple and how beautiful it all was. He could look as well, and he could dwell on affairs of the heart, and much of his writing was to do with his heart and to do with his emotions. And a lot of his writing was to do as he looked at the plight of man, as he looked at men and women, and he compared them to nature, and he compared them to the animals, and he could just look at the fickleness of men and women at times. And a lot of his poems were, and his songs were romantic as well. And I'm sure, I would hope, coming from you, Cumnock, that you would be able to quote to me something of Burns, some of his words. You know, maybe whether it was some of the songs, you know, I think as I was driving in, is it just at the school, I forget what school it is there a Red Rose that's now sort of just in the street, just out, I don't know if it's one of the schools or if it's the community centre, but it seems to be a wrought iron sort of, or some sort of model of a Red Rose. And Burns could pen those words, "My love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June." And many others, he could write about his stories, and he could write about his friends, and it seemed to be anything you witnessed, he would write about, and he would put it into verse. And they're good, and we can appreciate them, and we can understand them, and you may take comfort from them. And he spoke about affairs of the heart. But I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, not about Burns, but about him and how he wrote and spoke, or he didn't write, but he spoke about affairs of the heart. You know, back in my class, I've got a book which is The Complete Works of Burns. It's about that size by about that, and it's The Complete Works. Everything he's supposed to ever have done as well. But you know, and if you go to the end of John's Gospel, you'll see there that about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that the world could not contain. You know, if everything that was written about the Lord Jesus Christ had been written, or everything that he'd done had been written down, this world that we live in could not contain the number of books and everything that he said and everything that he did. And so he is of much more importance and much more worthy than a mere mortal man as Robert Burns. You know, we could also take you... Now, I'm going to show my ignorance and you can correct me at the end. But, you know, we could take you to a grave where Robert Burns was buried. We could take you to many monuments and many commemorative plaques, but there is one place where he was buried, Dumfries, is that right? Was he buried in Dumfries? Yeah, I'll take that as a yes. There's no dissension, I'll take that as a yes. And there his remains, you know, were laid, and there they stayed as well. But about the Lord Jesus Christ that we could take you to, and people surmise and they can predict that this was where he was buried in Jerusalem. But, you know, his remains did not stay there. He didn't stay there in the grave, but that he rose on the third day and was seen by his disciples. And we've seen of a whole multitude of people at one time. And he was taken and he was received into heaven. And that's where he is tonight. A real, a living man is there in heaven. You know, The last time I was here and you've come up, I spoke about faith. About faith. And I wonder if you've got the faith, if you've got the desire in your heart just to believe and accept God at His Word. That Jesus Christ died on a cross. That He was buried. And on the third day He rose again. And He ascended and He's now in heaven at the right hand of God. And He is in heaven. And He looks down now upon each and every one of us. But you know, also about the Lord Jesus Christ, it was said of Him, you know, there was a time when He spoke harsh words and hard words to the multitude around. He was putting them to the test. He was asking them what they really thought of Him. And there were many that departed and said, oh, these are too hard for us. We can't bear these words. Too difficult for us to put into practice. And the words of the Lord Jesus Christ do that. They cut right across our lives and they get right into the heart of the matter and they examine us and they weigh us up and they just expose us before Him. And I wonder if you've ever felt like that. And so Jesus turned to His disciples, His closest, His dearest, and He said to Simon Peter, will you also go away? Are you going to go away and leave me as well? And He said, Lord, to whom? Who are we going to go to? To whom shall we go? He said, Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Of eternal life. And where the words of Burns are beautiful and poetic and touch the heart, but the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are eternal. They're forever. They're weighty. And they reach right down into the very core of our beings and of our lives. And as He speaks, He demands that we listen and that we respond to it. And I wonder if you've understood that in your life. Have you responded to the words of Jesus Christ? You know, it's not just to tingle the ear. It's not just to stimulate the intellect or to make you pang after a form of love or after nature or something like that. It's to really weigh you up before God and see where you stand in relation to God. And it's with that in mind, I just want to read one simple verse that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. And truly these are eternal words, eternal life. And it's a well-known verse and you don't need to turn to it, don't worry. It's just Matthew 11 and 28. And it was the verse in the seed sower the calendars that were round about. I don't know if you've come and get them as well. In the monthly calendar, and there's a picture and there's a text. And it is this, and it's the words of Jesus as He says, come unto Me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to the words of Jesus again. Come unto Me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, that's something that Burns could never promise. He could never offer rest. Oh, He presented many questions, but I don't think He gave many answers. And here is the answer. Here is what we look for, what we long for in our lives. And it's a personal invitation from the Lord of Heaven Himself, from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as He says back then. And He says now. And how do I know He says now? Because He's alive still. He is in heaven. And He says, come unto Me. Come here to Me. Come here to Me. One other version renders it. Come here to Me. It is a personal invitation. You know, recently, just on Monday night, we were in the house and we heard these banging noises, just at an awful rate. And it sounded like fireworks, but it was a windy night as well, I think. And I thought maybe it was the wind rattling the letterbox. But I got a phone from my dad's phone and he said, oh, can you not see the fireworks just now? And apparently it was fireworks that was been set off down at the Barony, former Barony pit, down at the A-frame, the wheel that used to put the workers down to the mineshaft. And that Prince Charles was there at some commemoration of it. But you know, there were those that my son was telling me that some of the school had received an invitation to go along and be present at this opening, the commemoration at the Barony pit at the A-frame with Prince Charles. But you know, and they would have been invited to go along, but you know, it wasn't a personal invitation. I mean, I'm sure that Prince Charles didn't phone up Danny Easton, the head teacher at Auchin Lake Primary School, and say, look, I want you to come along to the opening at the Barony A-frame, and I want you to put on the phone every child that's in that primary 7 class, and I want to ask them to come along. And he didn't give them a personal invitation. He would have used some other secretary, some other PA, some one subordinate to him that would have arranged it all and coordinated it all, and he would know that he was going here and he would just turn up. And there was an invitation given out, but it wasn't personal. But you know, I want to tell you about an invitation that is personal to you. The Lord Jesus Christ looks down on your circumstances. I don't know your circumstances. And I'm glad in a sense. I'm not trying to be hard-hearted. But I'm glad that I can speak freely, because I don't know your background, I don't know your circumstances, I don't know you in and out, but Jesus Christ does. And he looks down and he's saying to you right now, he says, come unto me, come to me. Now that demands a response. That means there's a choice, you've got a choice to make. You've got to act upon it. He's asking you to come. So if you're to come, you need to do something, you need to make a conscious effort and get up and approach the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come here to me. You've got to go where he is. You've got to meet him where he is. Where is he? Well, you've got to meet him in the basis and the ground of Calvary and of what he did. You know, the hymns, you know, to this evening, you know, the hymn before we opened up, crucified, and nailed upon a tree. And I hope we never ever forget that. This was the death that the Lord Jesus Christ died at the age of 33. Not a death from natural disease or natural causes, but one that was inflicted on him as he on that cross sacrificed and gave himself for you and for me. Why? Well, because I'm a sinner and because you're sinners. And this whole world is full and riddled with sin. You know, if we look down, you know, if we look at Burns and you look at his life, he was just evidence of that, a womanizer, an adulterer, one who was discontent, one who could not find satisfaction in the words or in the nature and the beauty that he saw around him, but one who constantly just looked and searched for meaning and belonging, but just died a young man and didn't really find it. And this world is littered with people like that. And it's all because of sin. It's all because of an absence of God in our lives. Tell me, is God absent in your life? Are you living your life apart from God tonight? You know, on Monday night I had the privilege of listening to somebody giving their testimony. And it was a man, a guy by the name of, I don't know whether you've heard of him, of Gary Brotherton, who was a convicted murderer. And he's 33, same age as the age that the Lord was when he died. But when he was 17, I think, thereabouts, he got caught up in the wrong crowd. He was from a good, decent background, and he got caught up in drink and alcohol, and he got up carrying about a knife, he got caught up in that, and just one night in an alcohol-induced and fueled act, he got into a fight, and he ended up stabbing a man to his death. But this is as a boy as he was then, that he realised the severity of his actions. And he realised what he was before God, and he realised that he just needed God in his life. And even back then, as he was in prison, he found God, and he found that God was no longer absent, but God was present with him. And he asked God's forgiveness. And God forgave him, and we listened to him on Monday night, and he says now, as he looks back, he just can't understand how he managed to go for so long without God. And he asked, there was people out there in the meeting at the time, and they said, you know, they can't understand why, how do they face life? How do you face life if you don't have God, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life? How can you square everything off? How can you reconcile things? How can you sleep at night? How can you have peace? How can you make sense of this world if you do not have God in your life? And I just want to ask you the same question. How are you living? How are you managing to get up? Are you managing? Maybe you're not. Maybe day after day it's a constant struggle. I tell you, sometimes as a Christian I feel like that. It's hard, it's tough. Life is not easy, life is hard. And how people can live life apart from Jesus Christ, apart from God, he couldn't understand. And I knew exactly what he meant. And maybe this is exactly for you tonight. That's this invitation, as Jesus says, look, come to me. He's not panning off in some subordinate. Oh, you know, yeah, I'm here tonight and it's my voice that you hear. But as we read there, the voice of the words of Jesus, come unto me, come unto me. Come to what I have done. Look what I have done and what I have done for you on the cross. I sacrificed myself. You are a sinner and you are deserving of the punishment of God for your sin. But no, I'll take that for you. I'll take that sin. I'll let God punish me. And I will sacrifice myself and become a substitute in your place on that cross. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He has become a substitute. He has taken your place. He's taken the punishment that is yours, that you deserve. But you know, you only come into the benefit of that. You only come into the good of that if you come to him. If you believe in him. If you trust in Jesus Christ. That's only then. Only then will you receive the blessings. Only then will you receive the meaning and the presence of God in your life. You know, who is this for? You know, we know who it's from. It's from the Lord Jesus. And who is it for? It says, all ye, all ye. Nobody's excluded. Nobody's excluded. All are included. Your every single person in this little room tonight is included in this invitation. All ye for it. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. And you said, oh, well, maybe that's, surely that's not for all then. It's only for those who labour and are heavy laden. I want to tell you, there is not one person in this world who doesn't labour in the eyes of God. There's not one person who is not heavy laden in the eyes of God. You know, this is the idea of labour. I looked it up in another version that says that labour, growing weary to the point of exhaustion. So Jesus is looking to the people and says, all ye who are growing weary to the point of exhaustion. You're not exhausted. Does life just not sap you of everything that you ever have? The circumstances of life, does your efforts just trying to keep things together, just trying to get through the day, just trying to make sense of it all, to make meaning of it all, to just get through this life, are you not just growing weary to the point of exhaustion? You know, exhaustion is that there's no strength left. You know, I remember a few years ago before I was married, I used to do a bit of hill walking. I had this sort of, silly sort of expectation that I might be able to walk, to climb all the Munros. I got some, but certainly I don't know what percentage of them, maybe about 10%, if even that. But one of the hills that we walked in, it wasn't a Munro, you might know, is one called the Cobbler. You just got Loch Lomond and you turn off, it's Harbert, I think, and you head left. You head west, it's as if you're heading, I don't know if you can head towards Oban that way. But, you know, there is the Cobbler, and when you get out and you walk up the Cobbler, it's a beautiful walk, beautiful scenery. But when you get out, you just start going straight up. You know, there's no wee gentle sort of getting into it, but it starts off. Some of the walks you used to go on, and it was a wee gentle incline, and you just think, oh, this is quite nice. And you're breaking it easy. But, you know, you got out, and it was just up. And it wasn't the whole way. There were some lovely parts in it, but just initially it was go, go, go. And, of course, being young and foolish, then you think, ah, I can just go at it as hard as I want. And there came a point where we reached a sort of midway point, this sort of steep incline, and I was just exhausted. I just didn't think I could go on anymore. But, you know, I could. I wasn't at the complete point of exhaustion. I was just waiting until my second wind kicked in, and I was able to continue the walk as well. But here it is a point of exhaustion, growing weary, where you cannot go on anymore. You cannot go anymore. Tell me, has life done that to you? Is that where you are tonight? You feel that you just cannot go on anymore. I believe that we're all faced with a point like that in our life where we just can't go on anymore. Do you know what that is? That's the point where we just need to reach out to Jesus. That's the point where the Lord Jesus is speaking right now, and he says, come unto me, all ye that labour. You're wearying. You're so weary, you're at the point of exhaustion. You know, Paul, when he was writing to Christians at Rome, he said to them, remember, he says, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So here is hope. Here is consolation. Paul says, when you're without strength, that's the best, tell you, that is the best place to be in your life. At some point, you might think, are you out of your head? Are you mad? The best bit in my life is when I realise I'm without strength, is when I just can't go on anymore. It is, I want to tell you that the best time in your life is when you're at the end of your tether, the end of your resources, and you realise that you just can't do it. You can't do it. You weren't built to be able to do it on your own. God made you so that we might have a relationship with him, and that we might put our faith and trust in him, and that we might share our lives with him, that he might be part of our lives. And he is the part, Jesus is the part that is missing from your life. It means that you do labour, that you are weary to the point of exhaustion. It's the absence of Jesus in your life. And it's telling you right now, look, just come and just admit it. Just see what you are. You're weary. You're labouring. You just can't go on. Come to me. Come to me, and I, as he says, look, I will give you rest. And so that's an idea of within. Sometimes we're just, there's turmoil within, and we're weary within, and we just can't go on. And then he says, and they're heavy laden. That's the outside, that's the external. Maybe there are things, there are pressures of life. We've all got pressures. I've got pressures, work, family pressures, health pressures, whatever. You've got pressures as well. I don't know, but yours, they might be the same. They might have quite similar pressures. They might be completely different, but I'll tell you, they get to you. They get to you. And I wonder how you deal with them, how you can cope with them. Maybe you're not. I tell you, if we try to do it ourselves, if we try, you know, there's many groups out there and many books about self-help. Self-help. You know, that's a total contradiction, you know, and the Bible just would counter that. You know, we cannot help ourselves. That is what Jesus is saying. Look, when will you realize that you cannot, that you're weary? That you cannot help yourself any longer. There is so much bearing in upon you. You are heavy laden. It's the idea of just being loaded with burdens and you're just bending beneath their weight. You know, I wonder if it is sometimes just the everyday circumstances of life. And I wonder if you maybe feel the weight and the burden of God's law upon you. You know, you can't keep God's standard. You can't meet up to what God has said. The Bible says that we can't. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. No. So put up our hands and say, it's me. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I cannot keep your law, oh God. Oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of your salvation. And that's what Jesus Christ, that's what he means when he says, come unto me. Realize that. Just do that. Just come to me. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. That's the invitation tonight. You know, he says here is the promise. He says, and I will. I said we spoke about faith last time I was here. And faith just acts on facts and on promises. And here's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will give you rest. Now I wonder if I was to do a wee poll here in the hall. If I was to ask people, Christians, who put up their hands and say, tell me, is he giving you rest? And I wonder how many hands would go up. Oh, but you know, sometimes we need to go back for rest. We forget. We forget. We think we can help ourselves and we can go on our own strength sometimes. But if we put our hands up and say, what's the best thing you've ever experienced in your life? I want to tell you the best thing I've ever experienced in my life is that rest. That rest that comes from having God in your life. That rest from having your sins forgiven. That rest from knowing that there is love, God's love. You know, completely, you know, undeserved. God's love is just put on you. There's no questions asked. God's love is just there. And just between you and God, you're absolutely right. And there's perfect peace. Jesus says tonight, look, come to me. Oh, it'll not be easy. It's a hard life. It's still that, but I tell you, when it does get, the labours do get hard. And when you are heavy laden, come and I will. Not maybe give you rest. You know, I make promises. I make promises to my kids all the time. Jonathan's always asked me to play the PlayStation and asking me to do this, and I'm full of good intent. And my wife asked me to do something. She said yesterday, we bought the, it's always, I don't know why, it's always shelves, isn't it? But it was shelves in this case. We bought these shelves and I didn't get round to doing it yesterday. And it was only a 5-minute job. But I meant to do it, but just time went away. But you know, here the Lord Jesus makes a promise. And he's like no other man. He keeps his promise when no other can. And he says, I will give you rest. You know, I can honestly say, completely and truthfully, that the times that I went to Jesus, times when I've told him that I'm weary to the point of exhaustion, Lord, and I'm just overburdened, I'm at the point of bending, Lord, when I went to him, he has given me rest. No ifs or buts. That I come away from there. Those times when I've just prayed to God and prayed to his son, he has just met my need and he has given me rest. He's given me rest. Gave me rest when as a young lad I was able to just come to him for the first time and just tell him that I was a sinner. Oh, I hadn't experienced the tragedies, the hardships of life. You know, I hadn't seen what it was to have real pressures. But I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was deserving of God's punishment. And when I came, oh, he gave me rest. I felt peace with God that night because I knew that I had all my sins forgiven. Every wrong that I'd ever wronged against him, I was forgiven. I wonder if you've experienced that. That's an offer for you tonight. You know, the one who truly is deserving of our immortal memory, of an immortal memory. The Lord Jesus Christ, one who is unlike any other, one whose his words are words of eternal life, he says to you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will. He will. If you just come to him, he promises, I will give you rest. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for all the promises in your words. We thank you for all that the Lord spoke. Father, we thank you of the hymn that we sing so often, that no mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Father, we thank you indeed that there will be an immortal memory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you indeed that he is not dead, that he is risen. We thank our Father of the words of the angels that they could say that. Behold, he is not here, he is risen. Our Father, we indeed think of one day as he will come back and take all those who believe in him. Our Father, to be with him forever, so shall they ever be with the Lord. Father, we pray that tonight those who find life's journey wearisome, who find it heavy laden, are God. We just ask they'll come to him and they'll experience the rest that he offers even now. Father, we ask these things in the name of your Son and by your Spirit in his name.